C+7, Stevenson Farm, Eastview, Colorado. Shortly after midnight, with a note left for Tara to explain that they had gone out for a while to clear their heads, Emma and Dan drove slowly out of Birchwood with their headlights dimmed and made the short journey to Richard Walker's isolated cottage. They brought Rooster along for the ride, keen to make the most of his well-proven ability to sense that the messengers either were or recently had been present in any given area. Rooster's knack for this had first been seen on the night of his owner's initial disappearance and had gone on to prove priceless in marking out the messenger's invisible thresholds in Lolo National Forest on the fateful day that Emma and Dan came face to face with the aliens themselves. A repeat of that day was exactly what Dan was hoping for. A chance to both ask the messengers what the hell they were playing at with the cryptic clues leading to a warning humanity was ill-equipped to do anything about, and more importantly, a chance to ask them to intervene. On reflection, Dan didn't know if ask was the right word. Part of him was ready to pull no punches and demand a decisive intervention, while a larger part knew that, given the stakes, he wouldn't be above pleading or even begging. It was only as the car turned off the main road that Emma raised a question Dan hadn't even considered. What if Walker's here? What if they put him back again like last time? The reason Dan hadn't considered this question was that he was so sure of the answer. Walker is gone for good this time, he said. There's a small chance he might be dead in his room, but they're not going to keep stopping him from talking, then putting him back. He had his warning and he ignored it. One chance. Emma was quiet for a few seconds. You think we're going to find his corpse? Well, no, because we're not going inside. I am, Emma said. While we're here, I want to make absolutely sure that Clark took everything important. Joe Crabb is going to be back here with Walker's usual supplies before long, and there can't be anything lying around. Crabb, Dan thought aloud. Walker said that if he doesn't push a button in his kitchen within any 72-hour period, Crabb will get a notification or something like that. How long has it been since they took him? 3 days? Emma did some quick sums. I think it must be around 76 hours. Crabb couldn't get here in 4 hours, but now that you mention it, he was doing an interview with Walker when it happened, so he is going to be wondering why he hasn't heard from him since. He might have already been here. If he hasn't, we'll press the button. As the house came into view with no parked cars anywhere to be seen, one thing Emma and Dan were at least relieved to be sure of was that Joe Crabb wasn't there now. Crabb must have a key for this place, Dan said, so if the front door is unlocked, it means that no one has been here since Clark left. That's what we want. Rooster became excited in the back seat as the car drew to a halt near the house. He's not here, Emma told him, but will we see if we can find you a toy? Toy? The old dog's tail wagged like a puppy's. As Dan stepped outside, his mind ran through the possibilities. He consciously stopped it, not keen on where it was going. Well, Rooster seems happy enough to go inside, Emma commented, reacting to the dog's lack of fear as they stood at the front door. Dan attempted to open it and breathed a deep sigh of relief as it swung inwards. It was unlocked, as Clark had left it. Walker? Dan called into the hallway. Unsurprisingly, no reply came. Rooster then wasted no time in approaching Walker's open bedroom door. He hesitated at the threshold, as if remembering what he had felt a few nights earlier but no longer feeling it, and eventually went inside. He walked around the bed and back again a few times before ultimately returning to Dan's side. While Rooster picked up an old chew toy and carried it to his cushioned bed in the corner of the kitchen, Emma couldn't resist checking for herself that Clark really had taken care of all of the security footage from Walker's camera system. She was pleased to find that he had, and likewise relieved to see no other potentially incriminating objects lying around, and none of Clark's blood splattered anywhere following his face's losing fight against what he described as an alien force field. Dan didn't like the empty feeling of the house, and particularly the kitchen. Only a week had passed since he'd sat at the table with Walker after being spotted in the cornfield, when Walker had looked and sounded far more vulnerable, far more human, than Dan would have ever thought possible from the Titanic man. Now, two empty whiskey glasses sat alone on the table's rustic wooden surface. "We should get out of here," Dan called, seconds after pressing the red button next to Walker's refrigerator. I don't like it in here, and this isn't what we came for. Emma entered the kitchen, having checked everywhere else, then locked the back door and clicked her fingers to encourage Rooster to get moving. As Emma carried the bed, the dog slowly led the way to the front door. He paused at Walker's bedroom and let out a low groan of what sounded a lot like sorrow. "I'll put this in the car while you're taking care of him," Emma said, shuffling forward with the large bed in her hands. Dan crouched down to Rooster's level and patted him on the head in an effort to pry him away from the spot outside his longtime owner's bedroom, the spot where he was so used to waiting every morning in eager anticipation of the door opening. Dan opened the door again now to show Rooster that Walker really wasn't there, and after a few more sniffs around the room, the dog finally seemed to get the message. Emma returned from the car with a leash and quickly clipped it onto Rooster's collar. He didn't mind this and actually seemed to like it, evidently keen on the idea of a midnight walk. Emma had also picked up a large flashlight from the car, and she now handed this to Dan. He stepped outside and pointed it towards the cornfield. "Well," he mused, "this is what we came for."